Well, welcome back, and thank you for listening. This is the KidsDadsMoms.com show, where we are exploring educational and developmental topics that affect children. I'm your host, Les Minkus, and we'll be talking with Charles Krugel in the next session.
Do you dream of owning your own business? Franchising may hold the key. Invest in a proven business with proven results. Not sure where to start? Franchise Solutions can help. Franchise Solutions has helped thousands of entrepreneurs find a business to fit their goals and dreams. Find information on hundreds of franchise and business opportunities, as well as tips, advice, and tons of franchise-related resources. Franchise Solutions. Find the business that's right for you. Visit us online today at www.franchisesolutions.com.
Listen, the world is talking. World Talk Radio.
To reach a show host or guest during the live show, dial toll-free in North America, 866-613-1612. Or, if outside the USA and Canada, dial 001-858-268-3068.
This is the KidsDadsMoms.com show, and I'm Les Minkus, your host. We're discussing legal issues relating to children, to child employment in the USA, and we're going to start this segment with our guest, Chuck Krugel, who is an attorney in the Chicago area. He's both a labor and employment attorney. So let me start, Chuck, by asking you this question here. And it is that the average kid that gets his first job, he's naturally, he or she is proud as a peacock. What should Timmy or Janie and their parents know before they start work and about the work that they will be doing?
Basically, they need to look at, they need to do your, it's called due diligence. And Paul and Kathy have been alluding to this, through, and you have been alluding through, to this throughout the discussion, do your research into what who the company is. What they're doing? Do they comply with labor and employment laws? Check with the State Department of Labor or the U.S. Department of Labor. Check with the Better Business Bureau. See how they treat their own customers or their own employees. Look on the internet. Check, you know, Google or any databases regarding this company to find out how you can expect to be treated.
And what particular labor or employment laws apply to the employment of juveniles in the workplace? Do these types of laws, are they regulations and administration, are the regulators and administrators good at what they do, and are these laws any good?
Sure. Paul alluded earlier to one of the laws, which is he alluded that there's a law that was passed in 1938. That's the Fair Labor Standards Act, and that's the main employment law dealing with kids in the workplace. However, the intent of that law really wasn't children in the workplace is more of a secondary aspect of that law. So it's not the primary focus of the Fair Labor Standards Act. And it's not, I'm not to say that it's an afterthought, but it's not the main focus of it. Then you have the states, 49 states. Paul alluded that North Carolina doesn't have such employment laws, but 49 of 50 states have employment laws dealing with kids. And basically what you're dealing with, though, is regulatory law. These are agencies that administrate these laws. Generally, they're various Department of Labor. In Illinois, you have the Illinois Department of Labor, and there's a Child Labor Division. Interestingly enough, though, if you go on the internet to research the Child Labor Division of the Illinois Department of Labor, there's very little information out there. Child labor law seems to be, again, secondary even in the states themselves. The basic intent of these laws is to protect kids from working in hazardous occupations, physically hazardous occupations, really, as opposed to psychologically or emotionally hazardous occupations. I think a lot of this developed out of the Industrial Revolution and agrarian thought, you know, being farming and industry, things like that, construction, the trades, that type of stuff, as opposed to entertainment or sports or anything else that have, or technology, and technology is a huge thing nowadays. So I think the laws have a lot of catching up to do. And the agencies that are enforcing these laws, they're only as good as the people involved in them. And it depends on who you're dealing with at these agencies.
Well, I think that we've all heard about these foreign sweatshops that children have been involved with making fabrics, clothes, things of that nature that have been imported.
Domestic too, though. We have a lot of them, even here in Chicago.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I hope that the children in the U.S. are reasonably well insulated and protected against those kinds of things.
Don't be so sure about that.
That's right.
You know, we have 800,000 kids that are working in agriculture, which is another area that is exempt under the Fair Labor Standards Act.
Yep.
A lot of these kids are itinerant farm workers, don't speak English, are following their parents up through the growing season. There's 5.5 million children who go to work in America. 5.5 million. And sadly, many of them are not given the protections that we think we have for them. One particular area, and Chuck can back me up on this, if a state has not ruled in its educational department, this is generally the Department of Education, that work in the entertainment business is an excused absence, many parents are startled to find that their child is actually being called a truant and is declared absent from school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's an interesting wrinkle to all this, too. There's a lot of room in terms of waivers under these laws anyway. I mean, to actually fill out a waiver with the Illinois Department of Labor, to get a waiver for the child labor law here, it's only one-page form, and it's not that difficult to fill out. And you could have a union representative sign off on it. So if you're a member or your child's a member of a union, the union rep could sign off on that, and it's not a difficult waiver to obtain. There's no fee to pay for it, so it's really simple to obtain a waiver. In which case, you're basically free to do whatever you want with that kid.
Do the laws operate with some efficiency from the standpoint of requiring employers that employ children to have some type of a permit to do that, or does the child require some permit in order to be able to work? How does that work?
Well, there's an interesting thing relative to that too. The Fair Labor Standards Act, that's the federal law regulating child labor, there's no permit or papers required. It's only at the state level, really, that there's paper or that you need a permit or papers in order to employ kids or for kids themselves to pick up their own work permit to gain employment. So it's really only at the state level, not the federal level. And like I said, it's easy to get a waiver, and there are employers who abuse this. And it was in the newspaper today. This is in the entertainment area, but not strictly within the realm of what we've been talking about throughout this discussion. And that's this is sort of on the edge of things, but it's that Girls Gone Wild. They just entered into a settlement because they were hiring and not documenting the girls they're using in their videos because they were underage.
And they is not unknown. Tracy Lords comes to mind. Employers have to be vigilant, and if I might, just people have to remember that bad things can happen to good people. When Walmart did a self-examination of their employment practices with young people, even they admitted that they had children exposed to hazardous occupations, driving forklifts in the main or working in meat preparation, and they vowed to amend their practices. But, you know, they never paid a fine. They never had sanctions imposed against them. Again, the parents must be vigilant.
Correct, yeah. In the Girls Gone Wild example, there were no sanctions imposed against the company either because they were able to negotiate a settlement prior to that.
Yes, and the fine was, what, $2.8 million. That happens to be a California company. They're located out here in Santa Monica.
Okay. And I think the intent behind a lot of this, too, is behind these employment laws is to basically the freedom of contract, which you're balancing between the freedom to enter into contract and the freedom of contract versus regulation, you know, versus things that regulate against being able to contract.
Right. Well, some of the important things that I think would be of value here to discuss is workplace safety issues, children having to work in these conditions naturally. Are there laws, adequate laws, that protect children in workplace safety?
Well, I don't think so.
Yeah. I would agree with more than that. And I'm not trying to sound like a weasel, but a lot of it has to do, though, also with the employers themselves, how they're whether or not they're following the laws. And in this, you know, you have these labor laws, these employment laws themselves that protect or that prohibit children from working hazardous occupations, but we know they're being violated. We know they're being violated on a daily basis, not just abroad, but here in America. And it's unfortunate, and these companies just aren't adhering to it, and the regulatory agencies themselves don't have the manpower to get out there and enforce these laws.
Yes.
And, you know, last you were just saying...
enforcement and the available staff.
Yeah. You know, I was just going to interject here. When last you were talking about what parents, you know, involvement, and that's what it's all about, because these are minor children, and they do need to, you know, the parent does need to ask all those questions. I always say there's never a dumb question, and we're very detailed here. I mean, when we have a child that's on a major motion film, there are rules and regulations that protect them through the union of SAG, and we know how long they can work and what, you know, conditions. And we shot the movie The Untouchables here. There were some questionable, they were going to put some kids in a cement block and, you know, blow them up. And, of course, we were going, what do you mean you're going to blow them up? You know, so, I mean, these are things that we as agents, you know, should ask all those questions and make sure. And we go over, you know, we dot our I's and cross our T's when it comes to, you know, any type of a vulnerable position that, you know, we would put a child.
Well, other than what we talked about, Chuck, in the earlier segments about children in the entertainment industry having to join unions, are there such things as unions that children, and I'm talking up to, here we're talking up to 14, 15 years old, do they have to join unions if they work for some companies, as Paul mentioned, like Walmart or any of these other just general regular type of jobs?
Yeah, well, there could be unions that they may have to, well, one of the interesting things is, all right, the National Labor Relations Act does apply, which is a federal labor law, and there are local, and then the states themselves have laws that apply, and it could apply in these situations. So there could be unions that they may have to join, like Retail Clerks Union or Food and Commercial Workers Union for the grocery business, things like that. That's more of a menial labor. So, yeah, there could be unions in that instance. And these unions are supposed to be also safeguarding these kids from basically working in hazardous occupations or around hazardous materials. They don't always do that because the unions themselves, right now the unions, especially in private industry, are having a lot of problems with membership, so they don't want to make a lot of waves. So there's a political aspect to that in terms of maintaining their membership.
Okay,
interestingly enough, too, if you're under 20 in the U.S. under the Fair Labor Standards Act, you know, the federal minimum wage law is 5.15, but if you're under 20, for the first 90 days, you could work at, I think, 4.15 an hour.
We're getting down to the last minute here, and I just wanted to cover the last question here, and that is, who's in the best position to protect the legal rights of minors, and who is in the best position to abuse minors' rights? We've got about 30 to 40 seconds here to get that answered.
Well, the parents are always in the best position. It's because of what Kathy said earlier. The power to say no will protect you from abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And as far as those that are in the best position to abuse minors' rights?
Employers, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, employers.
Probably the lack of anything being done by our legislators.
Well, they're in a bind. Remember, states are competing for entertainment dollars, and sometimes they look the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think a lot of these people, though, also the legislatures, I don't think it's intentional. I just don't think they know what to really do. Technology is changing so quickly, too, that these new industries are sprouting up that either exploit or abuse children, and they can't keep up with it.
Well, I do want to thank you so much, Paul Peterson, Kathy Gardner, and Charles Krugel, for joining me today as my guests on sharing this valuable information with me and our listeners.
Sure.
Contact us, that's Phyllis, me, or any of our guests. Please email us at info@kidsdadsmoms.com and write the topic in the subject line, and we'll be certain that somebody contacts you as soon as possible. Well, that wraps up our show for today. In our next broadcast on the KidsDadsMoms.com show, our topic will be talking about children's diets and nutrition and child obesity. We appreciate you staying with us, and thank you for listening. Our show is broadcast live every Tuesday, and archives are available 24/7 from our show page at World Talk Radio. Have a great week, and see you next time.